SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get on the grid. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. I'm Pharrell. I'm with Carver Hyber in New York City. Great to have you with us on a midweek Where Do You Hear Wednesday on C2C. We're scouring the baseball market for tonight's games, and we still got some West Coast games to talk about.
We do. We've got a little bit of everything still. West Coast team, the Diamondbacks, in Atlanta against the Braves tonight. Merrill Lynch, Kelly, and Chris Sale. -175 for the Braves, +145 for the Snakes, and a 7.5.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Sale. And you know what's funny? I just want to see the number right here. Oh, I hate that price. Getting a 1.5 with Kelly, because Kelly's been great. Maryland's Kelly's been the best pitcher on the Diamondbacks in the midst of all their problems. He's been their best pitcher. You know what? I'm going Rogie Vachon. I'm not even messing with it. I'm going to go Snakes +145 to upset Sale and the Braves. The problem with the Braves is I don't have a problem with the way Sale pitches, right? He's dominant and he's tough. But the problem is that the Braves don't do anything. They do nothing. They don't score. They're like literally like the Pirates. They got pitchers that are really good that they don't score runs for. So Kelly's their best shot. I'm going to take a poke at him at that price as a dog. Give me the Rogie Vachon. I'll take the +145.
Why not? Everyone loves the Rogie Vachon move.
And the Braves don't lose every night. Like, they lose every night.
Yeah, they do. Rangers and the Rays in Tampa. Kumar Rocker's been on the IL for the last month or so. He's back. He didn't have a great first month of the season. He's got an 8 ERA. Shane Baz going for Tampa, who's won 10 of their last 13. -130 for Tampa, +110 for Texas, and an 8.5.
I cannot believe that Baz is this price against a guy that's got an 8 ERA that has sucked. Monkey onions. I mean to tell you, he has been horrible. And they've won 10 of 13. And you're giving me them at -130 pounds on the Rays at Steinbrenner.
Pounce on them indeed. Detroit once again in Chicago against the White Sox. Jared Schuster goes for the White Sox. Sawyer Gibson Long, who hasn't pitched in like 2 years, he's had arm problems, is finally making his return for Detroit. So he's on the hill. -2 bills for them. +165 for the White Sox and a 7.5.
Both of these guys are so awful. The over is live and on fire at 8 at -112. And give me Detroit on the run line at -116 at that price. The White Sox stink. So Detroit will find a way no matter who's pitching.
Royals and the Cardinals again in St. Louis. Noah Cameron and Mikolas. Tonight, we have -130 for the Redbirds, +110 for the Royals, and an 8.5.
Am I crazy here? I'm going to take, I say Caglianone and Witt go off tonight, and I'm going to take them at that +111. Because, the bottom line is that Cameron he's been really tough when he's pitched. He's got a 1 ERA, and they've let him pitch. I mean, he's already put in work, and I think Mikolas has been good, but he's more like 3-4 runs a game automatic. The Royals scored 8 unanswered last night in the I-70 series. I'll take them again at plus money. I want to make money. I don't want to spend it.
Mm. Orioles and the Mariners again at T-Mobile. Cade Povich and Emerson Hancock. That's Herbie Hancock. -110 both ways, 8.5.
Emerson Fittipaldi, Herbie Hancock. Wow, the over is screaming at me in this game at 8.5 with these two hacks. Honestly, like your boy Maury Povich is just
Hark. He's horrible. He's so bad. He's so bad. He's bad.
Horrible. Give me the over. I'm not betting on any Seattle in the over. I'm taking Seattle. Mine is -9 in the over.
The Padres, of course, have had some late rallies against the Giants the last few nights. It'll be Nick Pivetta and Kyle Harrison tonight. -115 for San Diego, -105 for the Giants, and -7.5.
I never bet against the Friars or Nick Pivetta. Gonna win 3 straight over to G-Man up in Oracle in the city.
The A's have lost 8 in a row, and I think if you go a little further, it's 23 out of 26 or something like that that the A's have lost. They will have Jeffrey Springs against the Twins tonight. Zebby Matthews goes for them. -2 Bills for the Twins on the road in Sacramento. +165 A's and -10.5.
All right, look, I'm crazy, but I'm going over and I'm going A's tonight with your boy Springswater stopping the bleeding with a massive Band-Aid. And I'm not talking the cheap ones you get. I'm talking real, legit Band-Aid. There's only one brand that works. I'm going to stop the bleeding with a full blood patch with Springswater at $1.61. Hello.
And finally, the Dodgers and the Mets, 3rd of 4 games in Los Angeles. Griffin Canning and Tony Gonsolin. -150 Dodgers, +125 Mets, and +10.5.
How about the $1.25 I'm going to make off your boy Canning goods? I mean, Canning has been unbelievable. 5-2 with a 3.2 ERA. Tons of work. Over 50 innings. Over 50 Ks. A 1-4 whip. I'm going Canning in the Mets tonight. So they'll go up 2-1 in the 4-game series with another upset. Give me plus money all night long, baby.
There you go, Dodgers. And they'll play afternoon tomorrow while we're on Coast to Coast to close that series out. I think they got a little day ball game out in
LA. That game tonight's on MLB Network, too, if you want to watch it at 10:10 in between, like, the second and third period of the Panthers-Oilers. You can watch the first couple innings and get your beer on.
We can't forget about the Taters. Quickly, let's slide them in. Had a rough couple nights. I've been kicked around. I'm going to some bell cows tonight. Brent Rooker out in Sacramento, +3 Bills for him. I'm going back to back. I know Harper hit one last night. He beats up Berrios. I'm going back to him, +350. Riley's got a homer off of Merrill Lynch Kelly in his career, +420 for him. Freddie Freeman at +430. He didn't hit me last night. I'll go tonight. How about Bellinger against this Ortiz tonight at the stadium at +470? And I'm going for it tonight. The anemic Bucco offense somehow making the slip. Brian Reynolds at +560.
Liar.
That's right. I'm going after it. I think you're going to get a lot of runs in that Astro Pirate game with those gas cans. This Gusto, I think Reynolds can take him deep. Probably Cruz as well. I like the price. Let's take Reynolds.
Listen, I never question your Taters. I'm all for it, but you know what happens. When you count on the Buccos, they're a letdown waiting to happen.
Clear the decks, baby. Let's go. Bucco,
I just need
baseball
a home run. I don't care if they win. I just need a home run.
Yeah, that's it. We can get it. Gusto for the Astros. Let's take him deep. Tater time.
Ring
on
the bell.
Wednesday. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. You know it, a golf Wednesday on C2C. And that, of course, means that Keith Stewart from Read the Line is back with us as we head north of the border. The RBC Canadian Open, or as the Prime Minister Cam Stewart told us earlier, it's like an hour north of Toronto. It's not even Toronto, but it's still TPC Toronto as we get ready. Keith, great to see you. As always, my man, I was looking at the schedule earlier, and it's like after this week, which I like the Canadian Open. It's a fun event, but you really, you know, U.S. Open, Travelers, you know, you really start to have a nice little stretch that we're going to have. How are you today?
I am doing well, and as I wrote and read the line, we are in the center of the maelstrom. You know, we go signature, major, then we had the Colonial, then we had a signature at Jack's Place, which played like a major. Now we have two National Opens in a row, and then, of course, you've got the Travelers. I mean, these are champagne problems. We have Mike on a Golf Wednesday.
Now, we're getting a break this week, thankfully, from Scotty. Now, listen, God bless him. He's the best golfer on the planet. You know, and I usually don't get into like the off the course stuff with you, but I have to. What do you think of Jack torching those guys on Sunday? I mean, no, you're talking about guys who have won multiple events this year alone in Sepp Straka and Ben Griffin, and then Jack just had the blowtorch out after Scotty beat them all.
I mean, much like a driver's license over the age of 80, you should be retested before you're allowed in front of the interview, you know, like crew. I mean, Jack was just letting it go all week, you know, the Rory stuff about not getting a phone call. And then all of a sudden now he's like, these are nice players. You know, a couple of those nice players are on that European Ryder Cup team that are going to torch us come Bethpage. I mean, because we are looking at Ben Griffin and Andrew Novak, you know, I mean, like it's an interesting state of affairs, but, Man, Jack didn't pull any punches.
Don't forget on the CBS broadcast where he said he hates the walk and talk or whatever he said. He was killing the walk and talk with them interviewing the golfers while they're walking around. So Jack had quite the weekend. Let's go to Canada now, Keith, as we get ready for next week before we get to Oakmont. The RBC Canadian Open, TPC Toronto. Now, they do move this one around a bit, Canadian Open. It's at different courses. Tell us about Osprey Valley, the North course.
All right, TPC Toronto is the 38th host of the national championship up there in Canada. It's the second brand new venue in the last 3 years. The venue is called TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. They have three golf courses there. They've got a Hoot, something else, and maybe the Seven Dwarfs, and then they've got the North Course. But thankfully, we're using the North Course, redone by a good friend of mine, Ian Andrew, a couple of years ago. Great Canadian architect, takes a lot of pride in his work, a lot of traditional tendencies with him. He loves the ground game. You're going to see a beautiful golf course, par 70, fantastic track. You know, par 70s, we're going to get a par 70 next week at Oakmont. This one's 17 yards longer. And when you start to talk about what you're going to need to do this week and you look at the weather, we're going to get some wet weather. We've had it already. It's soft up there. We're going to get another dump tonight into tomorrow morning. So this place is going to play long and soft, which means that these guys are going to tear it up. I mean, it just can't play long enough. Some of these par fours, there's what, five of them over 480? I know that's some serious length, but at the same time, you know, a 500-yard par four to a guy like Taylor Pendrith, who's one of the favorites, is like driver 7-iron, Mike. So for me, it being a new venue, I like the guys that can putt. I like a lot of ball speed. And I also like the guys that can definitely score because Vegas has the over-under at 17.5 this week.
Wow. Do we have any weather concerns in Toronto this week? Cam told me it's hot. It's been a little crispy up there.
It's been hot and windy, which is helpful because they have had like a similar weather pattern like they had at Muirfield Village. But overall, we're going to get dumped on tonight. Probably about a half an inch of rain between tonight and early tomorrow morning. So that's going to set the place up to continue to be very receptive. Will there be any delays? I don't think so. I don't think it's that kind of rain. I think it's more of like a farmer's rain, just a steady, like, you know, going to soak the place and then let the guys at it. You know, we've seen two professional events at this golf course in the last like 5 years. In 2019, PGA Tour Americas came there. Taylor Pendrith came in second. Paul Barjon won at 25 under par. They had soft conditions. Last year, the Fortinet Cup, which is their tour championship, was played there for the PGA Tour Americas again. And the winner was 5 under par. Now, one was in July, one was in September. But the point being is this, is that was wind plagued. We're not going to see the wind. We're not going to see the dry conditions. We are going to see kind of a soft, receptive golf course with the likes of Rory on it. You better be ready to put your pedal to the metal. And if you're going to be a bomber, you got to be a scorer. And those are the guys I'm featuring on my card. And I'm sure you and the Prime Minister are as well.
Yep. Well, I always love when we're reading the same mail. We'll get to Rory a little later because I know you got something for me on him in the second segment when we do some of the stuff. Let's talk about the top guy that you've got on your card this week because I have him as well. And it's someone who's played well at this event. Now, remember, this event moves, so past history, really not much of a thing. But Sam Burns does love Canada, Keith.
He does, and I mean, maybe because he's paid by RBC. I don't know. But the guy gets motivated when he's up there. And, you know, to go back to the Bethpage thing, we need some guys like Sam Burns to wake up. Now, he's been good lately, but he has not been great. He's had four top 20s in his last five starts. And the putter, Burns, I mean, Sammy's got that putter scintillating, right? He is burning up the greens. He's averaging, Mike, on the greens, plus 4.5 strokes against the field with the flat stick. So if we could just put him on a golf course like this where he could air out the driver a little bit, you know what? I think at plus 3,000, I think at the top of the board, he is the type of guy that can create enough subpar scores. You know, if Vegas sets it at 17.5 under par as the over-under for the winning score, that means you're going to need 23 to 25 subpar scores in order to win. How many people at the top of the board can do that? Can the Irish Barrack do that? Come on, right? Sam Burns makes that many birdies. He's always on top of the tour. He's number one in strokes gained putting on the tour, and he's always up there when it comes to making birdies and subpar scores and eagles, right? So I'm taking scoring guys this week. Sam Burns, for me, up at the favorites, is at the top of the list for sure. And when you talk about Canada, last year he was 10th. 2 years ago, he was 4th. To me, I mean, that's some pretty good stock right there north of the border.
And everyone knows how much the Irish bear, but you say this all the time. These are not the kind of courses where you want to play Lowry. This is not a Lowry type of course. Last week, a Lowry type of course, not this week. We got more with Keith Stewart. Read the line. We'll get all the picks for this weekend next after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday, a golf Wednesday on C2C. Keith Stewart from Read the Line is with us. RBC Canadian Open. Don't forget the ladies are in Atlantic City as well. We've got something for that, too, that we have to get to. All right, give us the rest of the outrights, Keith, because I'm with you on one of these deep bombs, and he's a guy that played very well just this week on Monday, getting himself into the U.S. Open.
Well, the first one I'm going to go with New Jersey Strong with Chris Goddard at plus 8,000. Goddard, you know, a year ago at Canoe Brook, trying to get into the U.S. Open, he missed by a shot. This year, he got in at the same venue. I love that. You know he's playing well. He's had four top 20s in his last five, just like Burns. This guy is an absolute bomber, and he can score. He's won at Myrtle Beach. That's the MO you need there. That's the MO that I believe you need up here at TPC Toronto, right? He's got five straight positive tournaments where he's gained strokes on the field, right? And he hasn't done that in his career before. I think Goddard, who is definitely a D1 star, you know, he started out at Rutgers. He went over to Oklahoma. This guy, he's coming into his own. He's learning how to be a professional golfer. I really like where he's at, and I love his fit for this week. And then the other guy, another guy who had success, and this is probably who you're referring to, but Erik van Rooyen, plus 10,000, right? At 100-1, he won medalist at his site in Columbus the other day, right? 67-64 for two rounds. I mean, he blew the field away. He's in the U.S. Open. And this guy, look at the places where he's won, Mike, right? The Worldwide Technologies down there in Cabo, right? Bomber's Paradise. The guy goes nuclear at like 25 under. He also won the Barracuda, which is up in Tahoe. The other places he's played good, like TPC Craig Ranch last month, right? He was in the top five there. That's what this guy does. He can drive it really well. He's a good long iron player, and he can score. You put him on a normal golf course, it's probably not his cup of tea. But van Rooyen over there, when you can just let out the shaft and then you got to go deep, and there's not a lot of penalty for just wanting to hit the ball far and attacking a golf course aggressively, Erik van Rooyen is definitely your guy.
Yeah, it's a bad setup by me, Keith, because I should have realized that, yes, both EVR and Chris Goddard up and get him down qualified on Monday on the longest day in golf. So nice job by both of them. Let's do the placements, including, wow, Luke Klann can finally cash some checks, Keith.
You know what? I'm not sure if you're familiar with college sports these days, Michael, but Luke Klann's been cashing some NIL checks for a little while down there at FSU, right?
I know.
Right?
Well, the checks that he's earned in these tournaments, he can finally cash. He hasn't been able to get this money from these tournaments.
Hey, I'm poking fun, but you know what? We've all been cashing checks on Luke Klann. He's plus 450 to top 10. The guy's got four top 10s since last June on the PGA Tour when he was attending school as a Seminole down there at FSU. Top 20s. You know what? I think there's a lot of pressure on some of these Canadians this week. Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith is another one. Everyone's got Taylor Pendrith on their card. I like him for a top 20. I'm just going to take the cash at plus 140. The guy's a perfect fit. He's from Richmond Hill, which is over near Toronto. I know that this golf course is not anywhere near Toronto, but he's the local Canadian player this week. A lot of pressure on him. I'll just take the 20 places. And the other one, Nick Taylor. Last week he was fourth. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Doesn't he know what next week is? Well, you know what? He didn't try to win the Memorial, but he's definitely someone to consider this week. I'm going to take the 20 places and plus 190. I mean, he's got three top 20s in his last four starts. Fourth at the Memorial. He's playing some solid golf. When Nick Taylor gets hot, it's time to bet him. Top 40s, I'm going Matty Schmidt. I'm going to ride the Matty Schmidt train for another week, plus 130 for 40 places. Hey, he's 10th on approach in the field, right? 13th in birdie or better percentage. Those are the things that we need this week. And then the other guy, Antoine Rosner. Great a month ago at TPC Craig Ranch, plus 200, top 40, 7th in the field on approach. Come on. You know, I mean, these are the types of players we need in order to cash and build up, you know, some money so we can have some fun next week over there at Oakmont.
All right, quickly, Keith, head to heads and then go right into the parlay you got, because the ladies are in Atlantic City this week.
Okay, head to heads. I'm going Rio Hisatsune over Taylor Moore, minus 120. Rio's been great lately. Taylor Moore, he's got one top 20 since February. The other one, Harry Hall over Sung Jae-im. You say, Sung Jae-im, he's really good. Sung Jae-im, he's 119th in this field in approach. You're going to need some long iron play here. You're going to need to hit some shots into some of these tough par fours. And I just like the way Harry Hall's been playing. He was great at Quail Hollow. And then the last thing, you know, the ladies, the ShopRite. It's one of the few events on the LPGA, Mike. Don't look for the scores on Thursday. They don't start till Friday. But Nelly's playing. Nelly's plus 550 and a decided favorite down there. And then the other one, Rory, we know we have up here north of the border, plus 450, right? I'm parlaying them together. You're going to get close to plus 3,500 when both of them win this week. I mean, it's just a fantastic play.
I'm in, baby. Keith Stewart from Read the Line. We'll see you next week. U.S. Open, Major Oakmont. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good boy. Stewie getting involved with the RBC and getting ready for Oakmont. He said to me prior to going on with you that the players will still beat Oakmont. I disagree.
He thinks a couple guys will be under par. I don't think we'll have 20 guys under par and it'll be a birdie fest, or it'll be like 15,
yeah,
20
that's
under.
That's not happening.
But he thinks that the winner will be under par and somebody close. So we'll
maybe,
see. It looks
maybe
like it's
a couple. I'll tell you what, that is the most brutal, long golf course in America, in my opinion, besides Bethpage and Baltusrol.
There's no doubt about that. It's going to be fun next week out there at Oakmont. All right, let's go. More to do. The Suns are going to hire, of course, they were down to those last two Cavalier assistants. The Suns are going to hire Jordan Ott as their new head coach.
Who?
Jordan Ott. That's right.
Now, I wasn't
with you yesterday, obviously. You got that Tibbs news right before you came on the air. I mean, that was right as the show was starting. And we talked about it on Monday, me and you. You think they're going to chop him? I didn't think they were going to chop him. I was kind of surprised
Well, that it happened. First of all, again, we did all this yesterday, but I'll say it again. I think it's really a disgrace what they did to him. And I think that, you look at his career, he's won literally. So with the Knicks, he was literally, I think, around 54, 55%. With the career, he's 57%. So the way I look at the NBA is, if you're literally in the NBA now, you win 51% of your games, people are saying the guy's a winner. At 52, 53, you're like, almost like, you know, wow, he's a star. If you go up to 57, you're rock star status in the NBA. look at guys' careers of coaching, and there are very few guys that ever go over 51% in 4 or 5 years, no matter how many times they do it, because it's so hard to win in the NBA. Now, yesterday, Coach told me, like, you know, and I respect Coach more than anyone. I think he said Johnny Bryant's getting the job. That's what he told us live on the air. Johnny Bryant's getting the Knicks job. And then this guy, Ott, got the Suns job. Okay. Well, to me, that's an abortion right there. And then two, that you're going to tell me, I just can't, like, I hope Coach is right, because he always is. But for me, you're kidding, right? You're going to fire a guy that really, I mean, anyway, he slides it. He's been an institution in the NBA, Bulls, T-Wolves, Knicks, 57% wins. And you're telling me you're going to fire him at, and he goes to the playoffs 4 or 5 years and to the Eastern Conference Finals, losing 6 to a better team. And then you're going to blame him for all the problems, and you're going to hire some assistant coach on the Cavaliers that nobody's ever heard of? Because listen to what he told me. He told me that the players love him. And what that tells me is it's real simple, that they love the brother and they can't stand the old white guy. That's what that is. It's as simple as that. So you're gonna get rid of a guy that basically has been an institution in the NBA for some no-name hack assistant coach. Good effing luck. You remember they just spent 25 years waiting to go to the NBA Finals? Get ready for 25 more years.
Yeah, that's not inspiring if that's the hire off of firing Tibbs. That's just not
If I was a
Knicks fan, that doesn't fill the cup for me. It just doesn't.
I don't care who he is.
Yeah, and some of the names that get thrown out, like I just still don't believe that.
Go get a Duka if you're such a badass. Go get Jason Kidd if you're such a badass.
Yeah, and I don't believe that Jay Wright wants to leave that cushy gig that he's got. I mean, Jay Wright's got the life of Riley right now. I mean, he shows up every March.
He will never coach again. You know why?
I agree.
Because you just said it. Cushy. He is so cushy at CBS. It's almost laughable, the deal that he's got, making millions, going on TV every Saturday afternoon through the college basketball season. I mean, you talk about the cushiest job in America. He's got it.
And if he never coaches again, which me and you agree he won't, he'll always be known as a winner. He'll always be a winner. And that's it. Nobody will ever think of, oh, you remember when Jay Wright coached the Knicks and they sucked for 2 years? Or do you remember when Jay Wright went back to college and couldn't get this
That's
team
what
tournament?
Patino and Calipari did.
Winner.
They went and lost in the pros. That's what happens.
He's a winner.
Let me tell you
something about
coaching in the pros. You go over 51% in the pros. I mean, you're like a porn star. I mean, this guy was 57%, and they fired him. You know why? Let me tell you something. I think the most overrated person in sports today is Leon Rose. All I ever hear about is Leon Rose. I mean, and not only that, he's invisible. Like, the guy is, he's running the Knicks and never talks, never does interviews, never does press conferences, never does anything, but he fires an institution and he's going to hire some brother that's never coached. I mean, honestly, at what point do we just start saying he's the most overrated thing in sports? Like, he's the most overrated person in sports that I've ever heard. Let me tell you something. He's been there. What have the Knicks done since he's been there? Besides, you know, they go to the playoffs and they lose. You're going to blame. So what they did was they blamed Thibodeau, but they don't blame Leon. And Leon is the guy that gave him 7 or 8 players, not 12. He gave him 7 deep. He's the guy in charge of getting players, and he gave him 7 deep. I don't want to hear it. I have been watching this absolute shack for 30 years, and you cannot win in this league with 7 players. Like, watch the Pacers. They just went with 10 deep and 2 on the side, like a ham sandwich on the side with mustard on top of 10 deep. They got 2 sets of 5 that can win. The Knicks have 7 players. And then they got Landry Shamet, for Christ's sakes. Don't get me started.
He never talks to the media either, right, Leon Rose? You can't find him anywhere.
Ever.
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 All right. NBA Finals,
Leon Rose is the most overrated thing in sports, in all of sports.
if you're the guy running the team, at least once a year you got to come out of the hole.
Not
you
know,
you got to at least you got to come out once a year minimum, and that's still not enough. And at least give a little state of the organization.
Nothing.
Like you got, and Nothing. He never does. Like you say, never does it. Which is
that should be illegal. It should be illegal.
Yeah, if you're the guy running the team, especially when you do something like fire a coach, someone's got to go up there and answer those questions about why. And he's the guy who's supposed to do that.
It's absurdity. I've seen with this guy and all of his nonsense and like who he thinks he is. Like, who does this guy think he is? God? Like, it's so funny. You haven't gotten it done at all, brah. You know what? You've done nothing at all. And everyone acts like this team's like God's gift to the world. They don't win Shaq. They don't win Shaq ever. Ever. Did I tell you for how long have I told you they couldn't beat the Pacers? Long before they played them. I said, the Knicks aren't winning anything. They can't win anything. The Pacers are better. Flat out.
Pacers are better. They were the better team. And they will play game one tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. We, of course, tomorrow will have a wall-to-wall preview. Today's media day. We'll have all the players before game one. Nice. All the numbers. I'm going to have to do like I did with the hockey, right? I'm going to have to do like a series-long sheet of integrity like for the whole series for the Thunder and the Pacers, I guess, because I can't play the Pacers minus 750, so we're going to have to play something.
This is what you do every time there's a championship at stake. Yeah. There's a sheet of integrity, and there should be a sheet of integrity for the Open at Oakmont.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Ken Sterling is our main man in the great Hoosier state. I'm a Hoosier, believe it or not. Not only did I grow up in Indiana, I went to Indiana, so I have rights here. I have say in this, and I believe that Ken is the man. And anyone that wants to dispute that, we can get together, and I'll hit you in the face with the palm of my hand, even with my broken thumb. So Ken is on mornings in Bloomington at 98.7. GCL, and he's the voice of everything in Indianapolis as well for us in terms of sports with the Colts and the Pacers, etc. I have to start, though, believe it or not, not with the Pacers, who I have been on since the jump. I took them at 13-1 to win the Eastern Conference. I believed in the Pacers to beat the Knicks without provocation, easy money. Yeah. And I beat them every night the whole way. It was Pacers, Pacers, Pacers. I bet on the Knicks in game five because you knew they'd play 48 minutes for the first time all year. But game six, I was all Indian. I won all the money every day, and the Pacers are in the finals. We'll get to that in a minute. I cannot believe the story coming out of Bloomington about this perv doctor and these accusations of at least 15 players that said this guy raped them. And this is Larry Nassar 2.0 with this Bamba guy, allegedly, who is dead. So they waited, they investigated him and found nothing. And the guy's dead now. But now all of it's coming out that he was allegedly involved in some really bad behavior with basketball players at Indiana University. I'm talking big name guys that are saying he raped them.
He gave them prostate exams, and you can argue whether a prostate exam is a necessary medical procedure, a part of a medical
examination for an
18-22-year-old kid.
Right.
But let me ask you, because you're aware of Bob Knight and Brad Bamba, they were close. Is it more likely that this was for sexual gratification, or is it more likely that Bob Knight and Brad Bamba got together and said, you know what, we got to show these kids who's boss. Give them a real examination. You know, I don't think,
listen,
like, if this was a prank, I think it was a really bad prank and an ongoing prank. But I don't I've heard nothing to suggest that Dr. Brad Bamba derived any kind of sexual gratification from anything that he did during his years and years and years and years being the team physician.
Well, I mean, how many people have to complain while he was there that they were being treated inappropriately and sexually violated before they listened? Now, the funny thing is, because, you know, I'm the biggest Bob Knight guy on the face of the earth. There's no one I respected more in my entire career. And I did 5 years with him every day. And I took his abuse. And I mean, to tell you, I paid the price for being around Bob Knight. But I loved him. And he was friends with me for 40 years. And he came on my show forever. But I got to tell you, I am creeped out. I just have to be honest about Garl. Tim Garl was the trainer. He was the head trainer there for 45 years. And there are stories that they were joking around like this was funny. Knight and Garl and all of them allegedly. And now they fired Garl this year. I guarantee you why they fired him, because of this.
Yeah, and Tim Garl has been a guy that you, even people who know him really, really well, can't get him to talk about things. He is a very buttoned up guy who is taking kind of, I don't know whether they're secrets, but whatever he knows, he's taking it to his grave. You know, he has not been in the media ever talking about anything to do with Bob Knight or Indiana basketball. So, but I don't know. Like with Bob Knight being gone, with Dr. Brad Bamba being gone, with Garl no longer being tethered to the university, I don't know what we're going to learn about this. And so I mean, if you had some kind of a smoking gun, I can't tell whether. And you're kind of a cynical guy. I'm a cynical guy. Is this a cash grab by former players who see an opportunity to go get the university to write them checks? Or is this a valid complaint about emotional and physical harm done to them while they were student athletes at Indiana? I don't know who to trust in this thing.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. From my experience, guys don't come out of the woods to brag about being fondled in their back doors, about being raped or being sexually assaulted ever, anywhere, ever, for a money grab. They just, guys won't even say it happened to them. You have hockey players all over the minor leagues that have said they've been sexually assaulted. They don't want to admit to it to anybody. Let's talk about the Pacers. Are you on the Pacers here against the Thunder? You have been a Pacer believer from day one. Do you seriously think they can beat this team? Because I don't. And I've been on the Pacers all year.
I think it's going to be really tough. And I think the matchup that drives the winner of this series and the NBA champion is going to be Haliburton trying to attack Dort. If Haliburton can stay aggressive, if he can put up more than 16 shots a game, the Pacers have a really good chance of winning this series. This is his opportunity to cement his status as a statue guy. He could have a statue. This would be the first NBA championship in the history of that franchise, and he can be the guy. He can be the guy front and center to do it.
Are you not worried about their defense, which is so unbelievable? And lastly, in this minute, respectfully, your thoughts on the passing of Irsay, who had his demons, but it's amazing to me how many people loved him after the fact.
And seriously loved him. I mean, the mood at the Colts headquarters has been really, really dour since that announcement was made. And he had been in the building a whole lot the last 2 years, but those people genuinely loved him. And this community did too. He did a lot kind of on the down low for the community. And now all those stories are kind of coming up. Jim wanted those kept quiet, and I think it's to his credit. An interesting guy, and I think actually a brilliant businessman.
Yeah, it's crazy. He had a lot of demons, but gone too soon for sure. Yeah. He led a wild life with his rock and roll, and he had plenty of issues drinking and drugging. But gone now, and at least he won a Super Bowl for the Colts. Ken, I always love having you on. Enjoy the start of the NBA Finals. Good to see you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so leftovers. I refuse to ignore this story because of its graphic nature. I think it's too important. I think it's a brutal story. I think, you know, it's funny. We can talk about Larry Nassar, but we're not going to talk about this guy. So 15 former Indiana men's basketball players are alleging that this former team physician sexually abused them, and saying that school officials and Bob Knight, the legendary coach, all knew of the behavior, including Tim Garl, who was the athletic trainer for 45 years. I mean, if you read this story, it is absolutely demented. So you read about Nassar with hundreds of chicks in gymnastics, and they put him away. They can't do anything to these people. They're all dead. But you're going to ignore their calls for what happened to them? That is absurd to me. Refs have been assigned for the finals. We never like to know the refs' names. However, Scott Foster and Tony Brothers, of course, are going to be in the list of refs that will do the finals. And I wore a shirt today in honor of it. Refs are terrorists. I believe that. They ruin everything. They absolutely ruin everything. Everything. Weddings, families, holidays, sports, you name it. Holiday. And it doesn't matter. They ruin everything. Refs are the worst thing ever. Unless I'm reffing. I'm a great ref. I let everyone play until they're hurt. NBA player correspondents for the finals are Jared McCain, Jaime Jaquez Jr., for whatever reason, Dyson Daniels, the Great Barrier Thief, and Bezelis, the rookie from the Bulls that no one will be able to understand. I don't understand why they're using these people. It's very exciting. Adam Silver says the 26th NBA All-Star Game will be some type of format that features the USA against the world. Okay. Reports say Tyler Hero Sandwich will sign a 3-year, $149.7 million extension this summer with the Heat and stay in Miami. The Steelers and Miami are talking again about tight end Jonnu Smith. That was on, then off, now on again, allegedly. Seahawks coach Mike McDonald says there's no quarterback competition. Sam Darnold is the man, and everyone needs to get used to it in a hurry. Micah Parsons confirms that he'll be at mandatory minicamp ahead of OTAs. Very exciting news in Dallas. Of course, he has contract negotiations ongoing. UConn and Kansas scheduling a home-and-home starting this year in college basketball. 17-year-old Mason Howell qualifies for the U.S. Open after shooting 18 under at the Georgia qualifier. 18 under? The kid's a junior in high school and shoots an 18 under. I'm rooting for him at the U.S. Open. Masters tickets going up after the secondary market crackdown. They're raising prices at Augusta, of all things. Hall of Fame boxer and three-division champ Mike McCollum passes away at 68. And now the illustrious Ferrella finish. 77-year-old Indiana man calmly calls the cops report that he just killed his wife, his mother-in-law, and his stepson. Bang, bang, bang. I killed all of them. Come get me. Your boy, the 77-year-old Hoosier, getting involved in killing his entire family. A New Jersey couple accused of chaining up a teen girl in the bathroom, forcing her to live inside a dog crate in squalid House of Horrors conditions. What is with people putting children in dog cages and torturing them? What is happening here? South Carolina couple allowed infant twins to be eaten by large rats. What is happening? Large rats brought into the picture to eat the infant twins. I have seen it all. A passenger pleads guilty after attempting to open the emergency door on a plane. Then he stabs the flight attendant in a horrifying midair rampage. Trying to open the door, then he pulls out a knife and Shanks, the stewardess. What is going on in this world we live in? Front Office Sports Today, GTD, In-Game Live, Sports Rage, Carver and Lisi, all tonight on Sports Grid TV and radio. Get my app, search for help. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. I'm